Welcome in. Welcome back to another episode of the Format Podcast. Got a pretty interesting show for you here today. It's March Madness, so stick around with me, and I'm going to tell you why it's time for Coach Cal to go. But before we get to that, you know what time it is. If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio-only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that five-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m., we are live here on the Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait. All right, so like I said in the intro, it's March Madness, and you always can expect a couple of things in March Madness. You can expect some crazy upsets, and crazy upsets are what we got. And the first one, college basketball, Blue Blood, the University of Kentucky Wildcats, and Coach Calipari are gone early again. Ridiculous. So I tuned in, right, in fairness and total transparency. I have not been watching a ton of college basketball over the last, 5 to 10 years, right? Mainly because college basketball is not what it was when I was growing up. Not even when I was growing up. When I was, you know, a young adult and when I was in high school and stuff like that. And over time with the one and done and all that stuff, men's college basketball has just gotten less and less entertaining in the regular season. Why? Because you're not in a position where you can really learn the teams, grow with the teams, create any emotional attachment with the teams, because so often, at least on the high major programs, the big boys, so to speak, those teams are different every season because you have such a high turnover. And now, especially, you know, you've got the transfer portal and all that stuff, and you're seeing more guys out of high school who are high level players. They may be taking the opportunity to go to the G League. They may be taking the opportunity to go overseas and play. All those things are changing. But at the end of the day, March Madness is still March Madness, and people will tune in for that because the tournament is one of the best 3 weeks in sports, if we're honest. And of course, the gambling. I don't personally gamble, but a lot of people do, and that's huge. They love that. So they're making a ton of money off of it, and they're actually considering expanding the tournament again, which I think it's right where it is where it should be. And I think it would be a bad move to expand it. It would even further water down an already watered down and lousy regular college basketball season. But anyway, that's a different topic. But the point is, John Calipari and his Kentucky Wildcats, they went down. They were third seeded. They went down to number 14 seed, Oakland. And it's crazy because when I first, I tuned in and I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, Oakland, okay, this is a team from California, before I even realized this is the team from Oakland, Michigan. So that tells you, like, number one, again, like I said, I'm not a college football, a college basketball aficionado, and it's just the game doesn't, the regular season doesn't have that same level of appeal. But you will sit down and turn on the tournament. And why? Because the tournament gives you all this crazy stuff that's happening. And so why is this a big deal that Coach Calipari and his Wildcats lost this game? This is why it's a big deal, because over the past four seasons, you see this is a team that 2021 didn't make the tournament, 2022 out in the first round, 2023 last year lost in the second round, and of course, 2024 lost in the first round again. Coach Calipari, I believe, has a lifetime deal from Kentucky, one of the highest paid college coaches in college basketball. And this is a guy who is continuously getting these super high ranked classes. I think this was a number one ranked class. I think next season they have the number two ranked class coming in. So he is a tremendous recruiter. But what good is the recruiting if you don't win when you get on the floor? Like, to me, that's the big issue. And I don't know why people have always rated Coach Calipari so highly. This is a guy who, now, I'll say this, when I was in high school and he was still coaching at UMass and he had Marcus Camby and Lou Rowe and Edgar Padilla, that was a really good team. And I believe that wasn't a superstar team. He took those guys to the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken. And what was amazing about that, that was like a Coach Calipari that coached a different way, right? He's a Coach Calipari that was all about, you know, grit, hard-nosed defense, rebounding. They had a couple of guys who could shoot, but he didn't coach the way he does now. It wasn't so much about, now, of course, it was UMass, so it would be a lot harder to get the superstar players up there. But it wasn't about always trying to recruit the superstars and so on and so forth. But he really coached the traditional basketball way. Now, obviously, over time, everything has to change. Nothing's going to stay the same. You got to adapt to a changing landscape, right? And he did that, and he became the master of the one and done culture. And that right there at Kentucky got him a championship, right? With Anthony Davis, that team, that was a really, really good team. And Anthony Davis dominated. He was a great defensive center at the time. And so they got a championship. Now, Calipari, Coach Cal, has recruited player after player, outstanding player, and to the point that he literally could have an NBA All-Star team just out of Kentucky players, right? John Wall, Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, DeMarcus Cousins. He's had a ton of outstanding guys at Kentucky. And I'm sure I'm leaving out a ton, but those are the ones that just were off the top of my head. But the fact is this, we get that he's recruiting tremendous talent, but what is that talent doing for him on the floor, especially at a blue blood program like Kentucky, where that fan base and that school expects to be winning or in contention for championships every single year? So now you play a game against Oakland, who's the number 14 seed. You have this guy, Jack Golkey, who I believe attempted 355 3-point shots on the season. And of all the shots he took, only 8 free field goal attempts this season were inside the 3-point line. So you know this is what he does. So it seems to me you did a poor job scouting the guy. Now, if you go back and watch that game, or you even watch the highlights, you'll see that Kentucky, they tried their best to defend him. The guy made a lot of tough contested 3-pointers, but the fact is, you got to do better than that. I mean, realistically, you got to say, you got to put your absolute best perimeter defender on him. Say, hey, don't help. Don't watch where the ball is anywhere else. You stay with this, period. This is your assignment. Do not leave this defensively. And, you know, now, of course, that's easier said than done. And, of course, that's hindsight being 2020. But Jack Golkey ends up with 32 points and almost tying the all-time tournament record. He made 10 threes. The record is 11. I think that was set in 1990. Can't remember the name of the player who did it. But the point is, Golkey went off. He had 7 threes in the first half. Kind of calmed down a bit in the second. He had 3 more. But the point is, he made big shot after big shot. And, well, clearly he's not going to catch anybody else sleeping going forward in this tournament, right? But this was interesting to me, because then this is kind of what I didn't like, because then Calipari obviously was interviewed immediately following the game, and then interviewed in the post-game presser. But let's listen to some of the comments that he had to make, and then I'll come back and respond to that.
They shouldn't be in our team in the season defined by that game, but it will be. This is the profession we've chosen. But, you know, we had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots. We don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
So what's first thing I took away from those comments? And those were the comments immediately following the game. You're a head coach. Why would you blame it on your players? I didn't hear much. And even in the post game presser, I listened to that whole thing. I didn't hear much. I needed to do a better job preparing these guys. It's on me. I needed to do a better job scouting. It's on me. As a head coach, even if you don't believe it, that's what you got to go out there and say. Especially we're talking about on the collegiate level. You're really going to say we had guys go out there and not play at the level that they could play? Even if that's true, if that's the case, I got no problem with that. You don't say that publicly as the head coach. You just don't. You gotta fall on the sword for your players, and that's what you should do. And that was really disturbing to me that he seemingly threw them under the bus. But here's some more comments. These are comments from the post-game press conference itself. Check this out.
We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles, and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
So, all right. So he's being just a bit disingenuous right here, right? So he's talking about, he was asked, I guess, about the age and how that's affecting it. So remember, he was the master of one and done culture. And he kind of got it to where a lot of people were trying to copy that because he had a lot of success with it. Not necessarily championship success. He won, as I mentioned, the one championship with Anthony Davis and those guys. But from there, you know, he had some Final Four runs, et cetera. But I've been saying for years, probably even before I started doing this show, I've been saying for years that Coach Calipari was overrated. I truly believe that. I also believe that with the amount of talent that he's had, he should have won more. There's really no excuse that he hasn't won more. And at the end of the day, that one and done thing, it worked to an extent. But what happens is you see a lot of teams. This is why a lot of mid-majors make little runs, Cinderella runs, Sweet 16s, Elite Eights in the tournament. Why? Because they're more mature. They've played together longer. They have more continuity. They have more experience in big game situations like that. And so all that stuff comes into play. You could be the best coach in the world. You can have the best talent in the world. And all those things obviously are important. But when you talk about the continuity and all those things, those play a role as well. And I think that's hurting Coach Cal. And he said it. But here's the thing where he's a bit disingenuous. He's saying his average age is 19. And that may be true on his total roster. But he's got two seniors that started for that team. So it's like, okay. Then he's talking about national championships, Final Fours. No, you have one national championship. And that was on the back of arguably an all-time great defensive college basketball player in Anthony Davis. So let's not act like you won multiple chips. Now, you've been to multiple chips. Obviously, he coached Memphis to a national championship game when they had Derrick Rose as a freshman, and they lost that one. But the fact is, you can't say national championships. I mean, I know you want to say that, John Calipari, but you haven't done that. Here's the other thing. Even if you're right about the average age of the players and you're talking about that, you're the coach. John Calipari, you are the coach. You're the one recruiting these guys and you're the one who set the roster. You're the coach. You don't then get to complain about the average age of the team and how that might be hurting you. Okay. And then you talk about how you've helped so many kids and their families, and that's respect. That's respect due. You've gotten a lot of guys maybe out of impoverished backgrounds or difficult backgrounds, and now they're in the NBA. They've got generational money and all that, and I totally respect that. But here's the flip side. You're also there to do a job for the University of Kentucky, and that is to win championships, and you have not done that. Again, this is a school that expects to win every year because of the great history and the blue blood status in college basketball of that program, but you're not getting it done. You're just not. And so we got to look at it and we got to say, let's be honest here. And at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you this. I believe that John Calipari should be fired. Just go ahead, pay the money. You got the money. Don't act like you don't have it. I think the buyout is like $33 million. We've seen a lot of teams pay a lot of money to make guys leave. We just saw Jimbo Fisher. Obviously, it's college football, not college basketball, but we saw Jimbo Fisher Texas A&M pony up like $76 million to get Jimbo Fisher out of there because they thought that he was not doing the job that they paid him to do. And so if you're Kentucky and you got to pay $33 million to get rid of Coach Cal, you do that. And what I would do, because you need a new voice, I don't know if you'd do it, I'd get rid of Coach Cal and I would give Jay Wright a call and try to pay that guy, because he won at Villanova and he didn't have the talent that Kentucky has and that John Calipari's been recruiting, but he won, I think, two championships at Villanova. So, you know, you do that, you give it a shot. There's coaches out there, but the point is, it's time for Calipari to go. That's my firm belief. So what I want to know from you is, what do you think about that? Do you think that Calipari should be fired? Do you think that they should be looking for a new head coach? Has he lived up to his status as a supposed great coach in college basketball? And leave your comments in the comment section. Can't wait to hear from you. And make sure you join us Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Format Podcast Live. And I'm out. Peace.